continuing with the excerpted recordings, the references in here and some of the other recordings will be to the manuals and other materials in addition to this book and tapes that are available. In this case, the meditation manual, which comes also with internet communications on various subjects. Then you are able to successfully begin the practice of meditation, which must be daily. There are directions in here and suggestions for many things. You meditate for more than 5 or 8 minutes once a day at the time that we mentioned. You create a special and private and sacred meditation place, perhaps in your bedroom, and you designate a chair or cushion for that purpose that no one else is allowed to touch or sit in. You can cleanse your cushion or chair using a little eucalyptus or sandalwood oil diluted in water. Face east when you meditate. Do not use candles or recorded music. Do never meditate with your face or your solar plexus in direct sunlight. Never meditate all in the dark. If you pray or carry on any ritual, do it after meditation, unless it somehow contributes to a quiet mind. And meditate as close to sunrise as possible. Do it daily, because rhythm and regularity greatly empower the cumulative effects of meditation. Regularly attend a meditation group once a week if possible, because group meditation greatly potentiates individual practice. And then finally, don't expect anything from your meditation. Treat all mental wanderings as what they really are, which are psychological manifestations, not divine revelations. Don't feel superior to non-meditators. Don't adopt any special diets that aren't already a part of your life. Don't meditate with a headache. Don't meditate immediately after sex. Just do it and keep doing it. Now, this contact with the illuminated state, which is called in Tibetan Buddhism Rigpa, reality, will teach you and lead you into the next stages of meditation. It may take you to Tibetan Lama to study. It may do other things, or you may just continue with what you're doing. But first of all, you must make this contact and begin developing it. Higher triad meditation is the secret of higher communion, and it is the thing that is necessary for you to integrate the very swift karma building and all the other things that will come to you, both blissful and agonizing, through the meditations, through the initiations that will be received and integrated in the work with this temple.
Please don't be surprised that in the instruction on meditation, we tell you that initiation brings you not only bliss, but also agony. Because that is what happens when you grow. An initiation is transition into a spiritual stage of growth. If we look at a shellfish, which may live for a long time in its protective shell, the time comes, the season comes for growth. And in that growth, the outer shell is molted, and the animal lies bare and unprotected for a period of very fast growth. And the animal grows and grows and grows and hopes it doesn't get eaten up by seagulls and birds and other kinds of things. And when it's done its very fast growth, it then secretes the chemicals that will form another outer shell, much larger, because the animal now has radically increased its size. And when that has been done very quickly and very well, the animal lives through another stage. And so you will find out on the beaches and places, you will find just empty crab shells. They're shells that have been molted by crabs, and you'll find that those shells are usually rather small, but the crabs that molted them are much larger now. The initiate goes through the same process. You've lived for a long time in a certain crystallized mind and a certain crystallized way of being. When you go through initiation, you are going to go through a transition that can make you and expose you to a great deal of bliss and also a great deal of pain and agony and transformation. While you go through that period, you are protected in our temple by the egregore of the temple. That is why you begin the first empowerment immediately upon initiation. You begin to construct that protective outer shell for the very fast growth that you're going to go through. And the analogy is not perfect, because you are not going to be exposed to a great deal of danger as long as you do everything correctly. But when you become initiated, when you are initiated, your light grows very fast and very far, and it attracts all the moths and other elemental kind of creatures. And if you do not go through the process of proper empowerment for protection, which is what the first empowerment is, you can find yourself fighting a lot of ghosts. So that's what we do. When you are initiated, you are plugged into the egregor of this temple, which protects you for your growth. This next excerpt has to do with the teachings about harmonic intoning. And it introduces the subject, but as I say, we have a publication with tapes that can teach you in much greater detail how to make these sounds. But I present this for your information now. We use harmonics to attune the chakras and our energy systems. We use it to achieve divine communion, and we use it in the liturgy kabbalistically. One of the things that's important to understand is that we are out of attunement. We are disconnected from the higher, and we need to strive to reestablish those connections. As an introduction to the material on harmonic intoning, I'm going to include some information that I give to the initiates about the esoteric use of pomegranate juice, which we also use in the chalice. Pomegranate juice has the esoteric property of being able to repair and to protect the subtle structures of the Alta Karana, which is our bridge, the invisible netting and webwork that connects us into our higher consciousness and our higher bodies that we're normally not much aware of, our intuitive senses and so on, which are very often damaged by our environment on Earth, and especially by the kinds of waves and radiation that we experience, whether they're dental x-rays or whatever. So here's an excerpt about the importance of taking a little pomegranate juice when you start doing this kind of work. Perhaps just a few tablespoons each day for a while you're doing purity practices, which will also be discussed later. And this is something on the esoteric use of pomegranate juice, leading then into the use of harmonic intoning for establishing divine communion and attunement. Waves, radar, various kinds of alarm systems, and all other kinds of radiation, including dental x-rays and everything else that are constantly permeating the unseen atmosphere, cutting through your subtle structures of your etheric and astral and mental bodies. It has the pomegranate juice has the esoteric property at its invisible level of protecting and helping to quickly replace the damage that comes when we live in the valleys of the human vibration and all the things that are generated by modern human life, the kinds of things that lead to imperil and irritation and the destruction of attempts to develop higher senses and higher communions and higher sensibilities. So I advise the taking of a little pomegranate juice. Now, one of the ways that we can develop our higher senses and our higher sensibilities, the higher psychism of our bodies and our senses, is to work directly from the physical senses using esoteric methods that help develop and stretch spirelli or bridges that connect the different planes of our bodies together, eventually with the goal of achieving full continuity of consciousness, the fully awakened state or the resurrected state where
One doesn't dream when one dies. One doesn't lapse into unconsciousness. One is wide awake in all states and on all planes. And in order to do that, we have to work through three basic sensory formats, the visual and the auditory, and the whole range of the tactile senses, which includes the olfactory and taste and touch, tactile and so on. And all things in the phenomenal world that relate to the senses come in sevens. We have seven basic color vibrations of light that we perceive as color, from the red at the lower end of the spectrum to the violet of the higher end. And these colors need to be studied carefully as they are refracted from sunlight, so that we understand what violet really is, what purple or heliotrope colors really are, what the yellow really is, what the green is, and so on. Because each of these colors relate to an energy center, one of the seven basic chakras of our bodies, to the root chakra, the red, to the generative chakra, the orange, to the solar plexus, the yellow, to the heart chakra, the green, to the throat chakra, the blue, to the ajna, or between the eyebrows chakra, the purple, and to the crown, the violet. And if one can visually inspect the nervous system in a human body, one will see that there are seven basic terminals from which bundles, from which nerves go out up and down the spine of the body, that are these seven basic, what we call chakras, or great intersections of nervous tissue. And the two great ones are the solar plexus and the human brain. And the solar plexus is the animal brain. And the use of the solar plexus correctly constitutes an awful lot of the practice of white magic, and the use of it incorrectly constitutes a lot of the practice of black magic. As well, in sound, there are seven basic harmonics of sound that relate to each of the chakras. On any generating tone, on any tone that any pitch that one generates with anything other than a perfect electronic synthesizer, such as with a reed or with a trumpet mouthpiece or with a human voice, there are contained within that pitch the harmonics, which are the natural vibrations, the natural mathematical delineations of the pitch by halves and thirds and fourths and fifths and so on, that are not normally heard. What one hears when one sings a tone, is the pitch of that tone, but contained within it are seven basic harmonics that then are unfolded into higher harmonics. And the first harmonic occurs at an octave above the generating tone, and the second one at a fifth above that, and the next one at a fourth above that, and a third above that, and a minor third above that, and then a second above that, which is the third octave. And these harmonics come closer and closer together in terms of pitch and in terms of mathematics as they ascend. And these seven harmonics are qualified every time we speak, every time the voice says a sound or inflects any kind of a vowel, these are reflected, and these are what I call qualified from the mouth and the vocal cords. And what we're going to learn about today is the very beginnings of using harmonic chanting and singing and the sound for attunement. Let's first look at what these harmonics are. From the Pythagorean mystery schools, the human being was represented as a single string in a single stringed instrument. The spine is the string. And by plucking the string and looking at the proportions on the string of the different musical tones and of the harmonics, the Pythagoreans developed the whole mystical constitution of man.
it's very clear that they understood the chakras and their interrelationship. What I'm going to do now is demonstrate the natural harmonics on the string of a cello, and we're going to ask first cellist to pluck the full string. Now, when the full string vibrates, it doesn't just vibrate at one vibration. If this string were vibrating at 200, it's also vibrating at 400. There is a node in the very middle of the string that separates the string in half. And there's a node between those two halves and a node between all those halves. And so if it's vibrating at 200, it also has vibrations of 400, 600, 800, 1,000, 1,200, and so on, that are going on mathematically in a very amazing complexity of vibration, so that one can touch the string as it vibrates on just the exact nodal point and can amplify or access or make visible or audible, that is, the pitch of the overtones or of the harmonics that are also vibrating. Normally, one hears only what I call the generating tone of the string, but if one touches it at proper places, one can hear what other tones are at the same time being generated. Let's begin by having a cellist pluck the total string again. Now show us where the first harmonic is. First harmonic is an octave up. That correlates with root chakra. Now show us the second harmonic. That's a fifth higher. That correlates with generative chakra. Now the third harmonic is a second octave up. Correlates with solar plexus. The next harmonic is a third above that. Now, when we have the combination of the fourth harmonic, which is the heart chakra, and the generating tone, which is the root tone of the string, we have a very powerful tone that is used by the Giotto monks and by us in our temple work and anyone who works with polyphonic chanting, because it qualifies and moves and intensifies the energy of heart chakra, which is the attunement with hierarchy, and the heart being the center of our being and the channel of connection to the higher worlds is greatly amplified. You will find this always used at the beginning of nearly any ceremony by the Tibetan monks. Now let's hear the next one, which is a minor third above that. So that is actually 2 1/5 octaves above. That accesses the throat chakra, and then a minor third above that is like the flatted seventh of a chord, where this thing is a chord. 2 7/8 octaves above that, that accesses the ajna between the eyebrows or third eye chakra. And finally, at the very top, the third octave above, the crown chakra. If we take a D string of the cello and we hear the string itself first, and then we put our fingers on the nodal points and pluck the string, we hear the harmonics that are also going at the same time as that pitch is being heard, but we don't normally hear it with our ears. And so on. These tones are all included. Normally, we don't qualify those tones. That is, we don't emphasize them, and we don't constructively interfere with them in order to make them come out. But we can do this. Now, on a string, we can see and hear the demonstration of a perfect harmonic proportions, which are exactly mathematical. On a piano, which is a tempered instrument, because the piano is not tuned according to natural harmonics, that is, it doesn't get tuned by octaves with 200, 400, 800, 1600. It gets tuned by 200 and a little less than 400 and a little less than 800. It's called a tempered scale, so that the octaves actually get flatter and flatter than the normal mathematical harmonics would be. We can hear for a while up into the higher harmonics the demonstration of their sound by striking a generating tone and holding the key down without striking it for the harmonics that are higher than that, and they will sound when we take our finger off the generating tone. Here's a demonstration. I'll use a low C.
octave. A fifth above that. Another octave.
So those tones are all contained in the first tone. If I were to take the felt pads off all the strings and strike a tone, we would hear the ringing of many harmonics. Here we hear the ringing of many different strings that have been sympathetically vibrated by all the overtones in the one string that has been struck after I've dampened that string out so you can hear the evidence of it. By the same virtue, wind instruments all depend upon harmonics in order to generate their tones. Now, the harmonics are situated in this way. If we take a generating tone as a C down here, the first harmonic is one octave higher. This correlates to the root chakra and to the vibration of red in the visual spectrum. The second harmonic is a fifth higher than that. That correlates to the generative chakra and the color orange. The third harmonic is a fourth beyond that. This is the second octave, and it correlates to the solar plexus and the color yellow. The fourth harmonic is a third above that, and that creates the first actual triadic harmonic chord. That is the correlation to the heart chakra. The color is green, and this combination is the combination that you will always hear the Tibetan monks, such as the Jyoto monks with the tantric choir, using in their polyphonic chanting, always to begin and to end and at all important parts of any kind of liturgy, because it is the harmonic of the heart that opens, attunes, and facilitates the channel of the heart, which is the basic connection with higher self and all of hierarchy. The next harmonic is a third above that. It's a minor third. That correlates to throat chakra, and a minor third above that correlates to the ajna, or third eye. The fifth harmonic, the throat chakra, correlates to the color blue, this to the color purple, or heliotrope, and finally, the third octave up, the seventh harmonic, correlates to the brahmarandra, the crown chakra, and the violet color. If we strike just the harmonics all together, we get this sound. This sound is called a seventh chord. Seventh chord always leads into and resolves into a chord that is a fourth up. And when it has its seventh to another chord that is a fourth up. And so on. And so the harmonics contain within them the motion and the moving parts that lead into all other aspects of chakra and energy work. Now, the human voice is a vibrating instrument, much as any wind instrument, perhaps closest to the double reed. And by tightening or loosening the vibrating section in our vocal cords, we produce not only inflection, but pitch. We can raise and lower the pitch. Now, each one of those pitches has contained within it a whole hierarchy of harmonics that belong to that one generating pitch. La, this has a whole series of harmonics contained in it that are different than la. And as we speak with our mouths, as we form vowels with our mouths, we actually form or qualify, that is, we emphasize one or another of the harmonics contained in that tone. So that when we sing on a generating tone, a pitch like this, depending upon what vowel we're saying, we are accessing a certain harmonic. Now you can hear the different harmonics in that one tone that I qualify by simply changing the vowel from the most open O up through the vowels O to the highest vowels. The higher the vowel from O to E, the higher the vowel, the higher the harmonics for that given generating tone will be qualified, that is, will be emphasized and will be heard. And the lower the vowel sound from yow down to o, the lower harmonic will be emphasized. Therefore, all harmonics from root chakra to crown chakra can be emphasized with skill. Now, there are harmonics that go above the first seven harmonics, and those harmonics are, in a sense, reflections of those seven. In order to access the higher harmonics, we have to sing a much lower generating tone. And when people are working with very high spiritual work, we're working not just with the seven chakras that we associate with our physical and etheric and astral and mental bodies. We're working with the 13 or the 15 or the 17 chakras, many of which extend above the crown of our head into a much higher sphere spatially when we try to visualize them. Because we have not just seven chakras, but we have 13 chakras for some kinds of work and 17 for another kind of work. Now, if I want to qualify very high harmonics, I'll do as the Tibetan monks do, and I'll sing a very low tone, and I will qualify a very high vowel, and then you will hear. We have control of these harmonics, we can choose one that we might generate. And here, as the Tibetans do, I will generate a higher harmonic of the heart chakra, working not merely with a mental or an astral, but up into higher buddhic and other categories of the chakras. This is a higher reflection of heart chakra. Here I am using not the fourth harmonic, which would be below that I would normally use for heart chakra work, especially for group attunement, but I'm using the ninth, which is an octave above that, but produces the same powerful heart attuning sound, but in a higher, more spiritual dimension. If I were to compare that to the heart chakra that is used in our normal group meditations, I'll use a higher generating tone.
Well, that is a basic introduction to harmonics and chakra attunement and some of the things that become important in temple practices regarding purity and our ability to make the transformations inside of ourselves and build the structures inside of ourselves that allow us to become psychically sensitive, not just to lower psychic and lower astral influences, but to the higher influences of intuition and spiritual guidance and hierarchy. Now, on a later tape, I will give you something that you'll need to do before you do your morning Iliaster meditation, and that is what we call daily chakra attunement. And that is done using mudra, that is finger positions in this case, and visualizations, and the harmonic attunement sounds that you will need to learn how to produce yourself, but on the tape I will produce them for you. However, I advise you as soon as possible to get a hold of the other publication we have that is a detailed set of lessons on how to produce the harmonic sounds and the theory behind them. And that is a book with a series of tapes. There are also other introductory materials that you can get that will teach you to do this.